following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN, your home for K-State athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
I swear, I cannot figure out this K-State offense. 1 week, I gloat about them. They're supposed to score 40 on Tulane. And then I'm expecting like 17 points against Oklahoma, and they go and score 41.
No matter what, keep me guessing, Cats, because that was amazing. Well,
let me put it this way, though. Would I rather have the 41-34 win over Tulane, or would I rather have it against Oklahoma? Oklahoma. I'm over the Tulane mess. I really am. I'm over it. I think it, who was it? Was it Kobe Savage that called it a fluke? I think maybe it was him in post game. Maybe it truly was. Maybe it was just an overall, just a truly bad day for the offense. Give credit to Tulane's defense. I don't know. I'm just absolutely thrilled that the K-State offense, who I said last week shows, I said it multiple times, you know, we're asking for a lot to be corrected in 1 week.
Yeah. Holy smoke.
And it wasn't like 100% corrected. Of course, you know, it's Oklahoma. You know, that defensive front, those guys in the box, when they're bringing four or five every time, is really good.
Yeah.
It's not going to be perfect, but man, was it way better.
Dude.
It was so much better. So I'll just kick it off by saying happy 55th birthday to Chris Klieman. You couldn't have a game before your birthday be more fun, more nail-biting and more fun than what you just had against Oklahoma, upsetting the number six team in the country.
That's awesome. That's a heck of a belated birthday gift. Here you go, Coach.
Early. This is before early.
I mean early birthday.
Early
birthday.
Well, the belated birthday gift will be beating Texas Tech. Which, by the way, the Red Raiders, I just saw this. I didn't realize until about 10 minutes ago. I told Troy, I was like, Texas Tech is about to play their fourth straight top 25 opponent.
Wow. I didn't even think about that.
Because Houston was still ranked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
NC State, I think, they're still ranked. They're
top
10.
Yeah.
Top 10 now in the country. They lost by a couple scores.
Plenty of questions regarding the strength of schedule, but yes.
Well, we're only on until 5 o'clock today because the Royals are coming up at 5.
Last time we get shortened by Royals baseball.
Do they flex college games? There's no way that the Texas Tech K-State game stays on just streaming.
No,
right?
It is.
Nope, it's dead there.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy talk, man.
It got brought up, actually, in the press conference today, and you know, coaches got the right outlook, at least, and that is, I can't change it. I can't do anything about it. We're going to play them when we play them.
Well, and prior to K-State playing Oklahoma, Texas Tech playing Texas, I mean, you're talking two different narratives at that point because Texas Tech was coming off that pretty disappointing loss where you maybe felt like you maybe had a shot in Raleigh, North Carolina, and K-State just blew it offensively against Tulane. It was different at that time.
And the other thing at play here is that the networks only have so many opportunities to put that six-day hold on. Twice, three times a year. And they used one already on this weekend for what they were setting for. They just would have been much better off had they gone ahead and saved all of the conference games back before setting the K-State Texas Tech one.
Yeah, and, you know, them ESPN, you know, actively trying to destroy us is, you know, a whole nother thing. God dang it. Whatever, though. That's going to be a great game.
Yeah,
that's
going to
be such a good game.
Coach Klieman said just basically, we'll play wherever they put us.
You know, it's
a very coach answer, but I'm with you. I think it's lame at this point that this game's going to be online only, 11 a.m., which, by the way, since it is ESPN Plus and K-State is hosting the game, that means K-State gets to pick when the game kicks. And, you know, that's a lot less time staying in a hotel room if you were instead kicking off at 6 o'clock
that's
or 7
true.
O'clock.
One of the worst things about doing conference Saturday road trips drove me batty because you're sitting around all afternoon itching to get out there and get to the stadium and get everything put together, and then you're still waiting. And you're waiting, and you're watching everybody else play, and it drains you. Especially when you spent the night, the previous night in the hotel.
Right.
Yeah, you can't wait to get to the stadium.
You're antsy. And then you're late. And you're, oh, no!
There's only so many walks you can go on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, K-State fans, this is really cool news. I'm sure Coach Klieman would be just elated to hear this news that K-State Athletics sent an email out. It's actually K-State Football sent an email out to everybody. Because I not only get emails as a member of the media, but I also just get emails as a fan. Because I think I bought tickets one time online, so I get just every email about tickets. And that is, there are now limited tickets remaining for every home game the rest of the way. And we're talking less than 1,000 for three of the four. So right now, according to this email that was sent out at noon, there are fewer than 750 left for Texas Tech, fewer than 600 for Oklahoma State on October 29th, fewer than 1,500 for the Texas game November 5th, and there's less than 250 tickets remaining for KU on November 26th.
Wow.
So what we're saying is K-State's going to sell out all seven home games this year.
Yeah.
And if you want tickets, go get them now. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't a joke. This isn't some marketing ploy here or K-State paying us to advertise for them. I'm just putting the warning out there that if you snooze, you're going to probably have to go to a secondary site and pay a little bit more money for a ticket. And I know K-State has that deal going on right now. You can get like a ticket to each game for like $100 or something like that.
Money. Dude, $99 for four games? Dude, that's a great deal, man. That's awesome.
Chris Klieman had his press conference earlier today. I suppose we can play a few clips from that earlier today. Now, there were a couple of questions that was brought up about blocking. I really stressed that last week where the blocking just, I think it was a bit, it was underwhelming. I mean, for sure, it was not good enough against Tulane. It just seemed like a mess at times. There was always a mistake being made. But blocking, according to Coach Klieman, and tempo was huge, leading to their success against Oklahoma.
ID'd guys better with a lot of stunts and movements that teams have done to us. And you can ID guys, and you either sustain them or you fall off of blocks. And I thought we did a really good job of sustaining blocks and not falling off of them. And I know helped us in the run game is the amount of tempo that Colin ran. We believed that they were going to wait to see what we lined up in, and I think we caught them a few times that gave us some second and shorts or got us a first down simply by going fast.
Also, just who's been absolutely a stud helping out with the pass blocking. I mean, Deuce Vaughn. He has been crucial in that area.
He's been really good. He's worked at it as far as the mental side of knowing who he has, and he's standing up and stoning some guys. He's a really strong kid, and sometimes you don't realize how strong he is when you're coming at him full speed. He plays with good pad level and with a good base, and he delivers a blow. He doesn't catch it. And I think that's the big thing from a pass protection is, as a running back, you don't want to catch it. You want to deliver the blow, and he's stepped up and made some really nice blocks.
Now, I thought this was a good question from Kellis Robinette. Earlier today, he brought up the tempo of Texas Tech, and I'll give you a nugget on that here in just a moment. But we've always known for a long time, I mean, going back to Mike Leach, that Texas Tech's tempo, not many can touch it. And now with Joey McGuire, I mean, it's fast. So does K-State, how do they game plan against that with their own offense? Because if you're going tempo all game as well, it's going to be a quick game.
Right.
Do you try to slow it down, or you keep the tempo going, keep with the same strategy you have been through the first four games of this season? Here's Coach.
In the past, I'd have said we had to probably slow it down. But for our offense to be successful, they need to be in rhythm. And the one way you get in rhythm is by going faster. And we were able to slow it down when we needed to. I think CK had a great plan of when to go fast and when to slow it down. We have to continue to mix that up.
So now here is how fast Texas Tech's offense is. They are the fastest in the country. They run an average of 94 plays a game. Now, I don't have a stopwatch to tell you exactly how fast, like on average, how fast they're snapping the football. I saw a couple of times against Texas, boy, they had to have snapped it within 12 seconds of the play dying. And maybe some of them may even been quicker than that. And they can certainly be quicker than that. But that is the fastest in the country when it comes to plays per game. And they have been successful with their speed. I mean, Coach Klieman mentioned it at the press conference today. You know, they're going to want to defensively with Coach Klannerman, you know, mix up the looks. but because of how fast Texas Tech goes, it's hard to mix it up because you can't get the singles in fast enough. And you're going to have to skip it once in a while and hope that Texas Tech doesn't take advantage of that. But Texas Tech's 94 plays per game, that's most, like I said, in the country.
That's crazy.
Second best in the Big 12 is Oklahoma State at 79 a game.
Dang.
Here's the interesting part of it. If you go back and look at their numbers against Texas, beyond what they ran in terms of number of plays, they also held onto the ball longer than Texas did. So for the speed of their offense, they still also controlled the ball better than what UT did, 36 minutes.
Wow.
36 to 24 minutes. So a whole nother 12 minutes of playing tempo football on top of what Texas had.
Wow.
Well, and Coach mentioned today that he felt that the tempo mixed with actually just picking up third downs was just crucial in them, of course, just holding on to the football. But Coach Minch, he's been mentioning since day one what is so important with winning football games is just time of possession. And K-State converting, what, 8 third downs mm-hmm. against Oklahoma? They are about 50-50 on third down. I mean, when you add all that up, there's your success right there.
Yeah. And what was the score between Texas and Texas Tech?
37-34.
Mm-hmm. So that's just a lot of big plays given up, though, against Texas. Right? If they only had the ball for 24 minutes and scored 34 points?
Yes.
That's a lot of, like, a big plays then.
I just did a quick bit of math, by the way. You asked about how many seconds between plays. I've got it roughly at 23 seconds per play.
Ooh.
If you just go the 95 plays that they ran in the 36 minutes.
Okay. All
so
right.
just a you know, offhand quick look at it.
I hope Ryan, I'm going to talk to Ryan Hyatt after the show, and I'll play it on Wednesday back for you. I'm going to ask him, like, you know, what is the average time, if he knows what the average time is of Texas Tech snapping the football. Like, how early in the play clock is that taking place on average? Let's see here. Did also get an injury update. I didn't realize Andrew Langgang was banged up, but learned that here today. Drake Cheatham did look banged up in the Oklahoma game. Looked like he may have been concussed.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nate Matlack, we saw him play just a couple of plays. Here's an update.
Andrew is still out indefinitely. We're trying to learn more from the docs. I really can't get into what it is, but we're trying to learn more this week. I can't tell you if he'll be available. We're still waiting on some more appointments and tests for him. Drake will be fine. Nate played just a couple of plays on Saturday and couldn't be effective the way that Nate feels like he can be. And I think that helped us because we were smart enough, athletic training staff, to shut him down. So I think it'll help him this week be more healthy.
Yeah, so there you go. Mostly good news. But Andrew Langgang, I mean, the more he's out, the less you have of depth. And the depth is already limited there on the offensive line, especially we were seeing, we saw Cooper Beebe cramping. And he had to come out of the game for an extended period of time. He had to take the Deuce Vaughn play and go back to the locker room and get an IV so he could come back out and play some football, which shout out to Wamego Kansas and Dawson Delforge, who I thought did a pretty good job of filling there on the left side of that line where they absolutely needed him to step up, and I thought he did a pretty good job. Now, to wrap up here, I'm sure everybody – it's been talked about a lot since the end of the game, and that was when Oklahoma was on offense. They were going to go for it on fourth down, and they decided – and we're talking, you know, I can't remember where it was, like 5 or 10 yards into K-State territory, and it was like a 4th-and-4. I don't remember the exact details, but they were going to go for it. They set it up on a third down run, so they would go on fourth down for 4th-and-short. And with like 20 seconds on the play clock, Brent Venables decides to sub. – Well, there's a rule where if you're going to sub, the referee's going to step over towards the center, say, hold up, we got to let the defense sub if they choose to do so. Well, they decided to run somebody, and I'll let Coach Kleiman here tell the story of what happened.
If you substitute, you have time to match that substitution. And we knew it was a critical situation, and they substituted late. And I screamed in the headset, send somebody, send somebody. And Buddy did the perfect thing and sent a defensive end for a defensive end. And those kids don't run 4-4. So it's going to take them a little while to get out there and then take them a while to get back. And then I think they substituted again another guy. It was a benefit for us, and we're fortunate because it worked out. I think they had a delay on that time. And, yeah, we work on that.
And two bowhead moves by Oklahoma, in my opinion. You decide to sub with 20 or 19 seconds left on the play clock. Coach Klieman, that's not the first time they've done that. They've done it many times in the Coach Klieman tenure of those late substitutions to really let that play clock get to short time. But also, when the referee moved away from the center, there was maybe 5 seconds on that play clock. And Brent Venables still allowed his offense to try to snap that football instead of taking a timeout. Mm-hmm. And that resulted in a delay of game, backed him up 5 yards. And then at that point, you're like, well, that's a big risk if we decide to go for it. So we punted away, and he gave the ball back to K-State. I mean, I will say that the defense at times, they needed some luck on their side. Oklahoma did shoot themselves, though, in the foot multiple times with some penalties. Delay a game, false starts that took him out of a drive. So that was, I thought, excellent coaching. That's excellent coaching for those details. Use the rules in your favor to gain that sort of advantage.
Until
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Until someone decides in the midst of the game to, hey, ref, they're not fast enough.
I think it's...
Doesn't matter. You can take as much time as you want.
I understand. I'm just saying, just wait, because now it's going to be watched closely.
When Stuffel Bean was jogging off the field, I thought he was going too fast.
Me too. I thought that's... I go, wait, easy. Act like he dropped something. You know? For me, it's also like, not every game you win is going to be 66-0 where you do everything perfect. Sometimes you need stroke of luck. Sometimes you need the ball to just bounce your way. And K-State took advantage of those situations, and when they needed to step up, Oklahoma wasn't able to. They weren't sharp enough. They weren't ready for that moment, and that's why I think high level head coaches are psychos, because they have to worry about every single thing, and they have to be ready for every single situation during the game, off the field, recruiting wise, everything they have to worry about. And I think it was Brett Venables' first time really going, man, this is hard. This is not, you just don't roll them out and play. You have to worry about little things like that. Chris Klieman and co. were ready for that situation.
Stuff will be like drops his mouthpiece. Yeah. He's like trying to pick it up. Oh, he's kicking it all over.
Fall
oh, God.
Bit, or like trip a little bit. Oh, boy. You know, do something. Don't go so
it's
fast.
It's slippery out here.
It sure is. I thought also, am I the only one? Dylan Gabriel's kind of a little turd, man.
Well, what are you talking about?
If you think he's a little turd, what do you think that the yell leader on the sideline is?
Oh, my God. That guy was hilarious. That guy was really funny. I just felt like Dylan Gabriel seemed like he was talking a lot of trash.
I guess I didn't catch that.
Yeah. I thought he was kind of being, like, snotty. I don't know. Our guy just kind of laughs and goes, whatever, and runs back to the thing. I like that. But the yell leader dude, I want to find out who this kid is. He's a little too into it.
Yeah, he got himself a little sideways, not just with AM.
We won't talk about that, though. I think that was an off-the-record discussion.
It's just rather humorous that he didn't know when to stop.
Oh, wow.
But I guess Adrian was asked about that.
Yeah,
yes. He did address it a little bit. You're not going to hear much dialogue about it, but 9 a.m. did speak about that. Plus, are we going to start seeing some bowing merch out there? There was a whole bunch of stuff that Adrian Martinez did address with the media earlier today. We'll hear that interview up next on The Game. We will hear from Adrian Martinez in just a moment. Back to The Game with Mitch Troy, DG, Big Steve, who's now our one-winged angel over there.
Yep, one arm.
Are you okay?
I am. I can't use my arm for at least a week, though.
Right arm, too. You're a righty?
Yeah, I'm right arm dominant. I actually had to trade vehicles with my mother-in-law because I drive stick. And I can't drive stick if I'm not allowed to use my arm.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yeah,
I know.
Stinks.
So now I've got a pickup truck that I get to drive for a week.
Right on, right on.
Someone dove hunting winged you?
I guess. That's the theory I'm going with.
I got shot. What happened? Did you sleep wrong? No, I was shot. Thank you.
So do you want the cool answer of what happened, or do you want the actual answer?
Actual.
Well, actual, we'll see how cool it is.
Yeah.
So the actual answer is I have no clue what actually injured me. I basically, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, woke up with some dull pain, very pinpoint, wasn't moving around, thought nothing of it, was like, oh, I slept on it wrong, whatever, cool. And then yesterday, I was running in focus during the morning, reached across to go touch something on the touchscreen, felt like a pop sensation, and then started sobbing because of how much pain I was in.
Whoa.
After that, went to K-Stat, they took some x-rays, and they're like, well, the bone looks fine, we're going to send it to some more specialists just to make sure there's not like a hairline fracture. But what's probably going on is you have two sets of muscles in there. You have your actual bicep and then one that goes around the bone. They're thinking the one around the bone is pulling or tearing in parts.
Ooh.
Right in that section. It doesn't feel nice.
Ouch.
And they say if it doesn't get better in a week, then they will get me a referral to go to an orthopedic specialist to go get it looked at.
DG, where does that fit on the cool scale? 1 to 10.
3.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
See, the cool answer was, man, I was out in the streets and I got beat up, but I beat them back real hard, you know?
As
9. That's a 9. I go, whoa.
We'll go with that one. That
you
one sounds
cooler.
Beat
up a gang of thugs.
Exactly, yeah.
He beat up
I was
folks.
Defending the innocent.
He was he got beat up trying to defend the stage at the hat.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There you go, yeah.
That would work much better than...
Hey, sometimes I work security over there, so that makes sense.
Just the fact that, you know, ever since turned 25, your body has gone to pot.
I mean, what kind of operation is this? They have the sound guy who is a buck 25 soaking wet, running some
buck
security.
45.
Hey, shout out to Ryan down there. We need to get some more beef on the front door, man. That's a really good one. You could say there were these guys getting rowdy at the hat, and I saw it, and I go, "Hey, man, you guys need to cool it." And a guy pulled a knife and cut my bicep.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we'll go with. That's
just say somebody cut your bicep.
Well, that used to happen in action movies all the time, where the dude just the heel like just slice it like just recklessly just throws a knife out there trying to cut him, and you see the shirt is cut.
Yeah,
right. On the arm, and there's some blood.
See, what's funny about that is in movies it looks so deep, like because of how much blood they put. It's like if you had a cut that deep, you are not doing anything.
Yeah,
like, at that point, that's all muscle
and
that you just slice.
People don't just like pull a knife out when you go, "Hey, stop doing that." They don't go, "What?"
Here's my knife. Yeah.
Normally, it takes a little more.
And in the action movies, the guy that gets cut, he's like, just looks at it.
Yeah,
he goes, "You son of a," and it, like gets back
exactly.
into the fight. Realistically, it's like,
God,
that hurts.
You cut
you jerk.
And this shirt,
like,
my
it's like Monty Python.
Oh,
tis only a flesh wound.
Yes.
Oh, dang. I guess the hurricane, by the way, means business. Apparently, Waffle House in Tampa and St. Pete is closing.
Okay, so if anybody's listening online in Tampa, get out.
That's right.
The Waffle House is closed. It's doomed.
The Waffle House Index playing a role here.
Well, and they're probably going to move the Chiefs. Bucks game.
Yeah, likely. Minnesota or New Orleans have open stadiums this weekend because they're playing overseas.
Hmm.
So that would be the possibility, at least that was floated in early discussions yesterday.
Let's just get crazy, you know, and just go overseas too. You know what I mean? Like, let's go to Singapore. Let's play it, baby.
I think some ops guys in Kansas City would like to have a word with you at that point.
Let's get to Adrian Martinez.
Wait, dude. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I feel like I need to...
Yes, we own track this.
Are we going to do 9 a.m. or are we going to do a.m. 9?
Oh, it's 9 a.m.
Okay.
I mean, Adrian sells his own merch says 9 a.m. on it.
That's right. Okay. Thank you. I put that out on Twitter and got a lot more responses.
Well, then I start thinking about, is this a nickname he made up himself?
And yeah, yeah.
And now that's not as cool.
Like, no, it was Big Steve.
Big Steve. Okay, nice. Well, no, first it was AM 9, and that's when Adrian just basically busted Big Steve's arm out of his socket.
Yep.
And said it's 9 a.m.
The truth finally came out. I wish it wouldn't have gotten that far. But
Big Steve, that's embarrassing.
Hey, right. It's a man thing, you know?
Let's get to Adrian Martinez, who had plenty to say about the win against Oklahoma.
How'd the body feel Sunday morning?
Better after a win. Always does, right? So, you know, you get a little banged up, but that's part of it.
I gotta ask you, what did the yell leader say to you after the run?
Did the who?
Yell leader from Oklahoma say to you?
I don't even know. I could just tell by his body language he was saying something reckless, so It's like, all right, whatever. The game's almost over now, so.
And is the 9 a.m. Bowie merchandise available yet?
No. I'm not currently working on that. Currently working on some Texas Tech stuff, but hey, someone puts it together, that'd be sweet.
On the 55-yard run, were you manipulating number 5 with your eyes? What's your read on that play?
Yeah, so identifying man coverage post-snap. I was more trying to manipulate him to throw a seam ball, ideally, but how it worked out helped me with the run. You know, I wouldn't say it was for the purpose of the run.
On a play like that, how do you balance when you give up on finding a receiver and just take off, versus how long do you wait to see if anybody gets open?
Yeah, you know, as we've said in some previous weeks, it's all about finding that line between making plays and making the smart plays. So it's kind of instinctual at that point, and given the situation, 3rd and 16, getting yards regardless would have been a good play for us.
Adrian, your line played really well through the game, but watching that 55-yard run, you had 5 defenders coming at you and 5 linemen, and they gave you enough time to evaluate the situation and go untouched.
I think it's the little things that are little overlooked. The line played great all night. They gave Deuce and I running lanes. They held up really strong all night against random pressures, a really good front in Oklahoma. Those guys deserve all the credit in the world, and they were able to bounce back. We all had a tough game the week before, and we bounced back, stayed confident, and that group really proved themselves.
How much does it mean to Adrian Martinez to hear throughout the week, we trust in our quarterback, and we know we trust in his skills?
That vote of confidence was big for me. Being able to be honest and kind of install confidence at the same time, I think, is pretty awesome. Coach Kleiman and Coach Klein as well, because they challenged me, you know, and I felt like I needed that. And that vote of confidence was huge, not only from them, but from my teammates. And I felt that throughout the week.
Can you tell us, did you hear from after the game?
A lot, yeah, a lot. My phone blew up, and it's always cool to get that kind of support, and I was definitely appreciative of all the people that reached out to me.
On your first touchdown run in the fourth quarter, when you had the fake handoff to Deuce, he goes left and you go right, how did you sell the fake so good?
You know, I think it's natural because I could have handed it to him too. So it wasn't necessarily a just quarterback run all the way. It could have gone to Deuce as well. And I think that's what makes it tough for defenses, because they're going to have to pick one or the other. And sometimes I'll give it to Deuce, sometimes I'll keep it. And defenders have to react one way or the other.
What's it mean to be right?
It's rare.
It's cool. It's very cool, but it doesn't mean a whole lot. It's temporary. You have to prove it. And I think it's a cool thing for this team, but it's not what we're after. You know, there's still a lot on the horizon, and we have an incredible opponent coming in here who's knocked off a ranked team before. So,
been on this stage before. At what point do you hit that reset button and move forward to the next week?
Yeah, almost immediately. You try and enjoy that win, but playing in the Big 12, playing against a really good opponent this week, you have to be able to reset and focus on the next team, because, look, if we're not prepared, they're going to beat us. Anybody can beat anybody any given Saturday, so we'll be ready.
Was your mindset totally different when you stepped on the field in Norman?
I wouldn't say totally different, but I felt like I really wanted to embrace the cut it loose and playing aggressive with an aggressive mindset. Said that early in the week, and I was really trying to embrace that throughout the week, and especially Saturday.
Is that still your mindset here, yeah, going up against Texas Tech?
Absolutely. It's just one game, you know, and you have to be able to be consistent, and that's what I'm striving for. So want to continue to bring some of those things that helped our success last Saturday into this season, this Saturday, and moving forward.
What stands out with Texas Tech's defense as you prepare for them?
Yeah, they're a really lengthy group. They have a solid front, and they play a little bit differently than what we've seen the last couple weeks. So it'll be a great challenge for us, and they've had some success.
What did your parents say after seeing you live for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, they were just excited to be there. Really cool moment for me that it was the first game they came to. Happened to be probably the best one of my career so far. So really cool moment for us to share together, and just thankful I could go hug them after the game.
When was the last time that you hit that second gear to put you loose for that 55-yarder?
Shoot. Earlier in the game. You know, those guys will make you run fast now. They had some speed in the secondary, so.
We've had some other people talk about how neat they thought it was. The band was waiting for you when you got home. Was that a pretty cool deal?
Never experienced something like that in my life. You know, I was a little shocked. I heard the noise. I was like, what? It's 2:45 in the morning, you know? Like, what is that? And walking out, big crowd supporting us. I think it speaks to the pride that this place has and the true community that Kansas State is. So, meant a lot to us. and some of them were in pajamas. I mean, I couldn't blame them. Like, they were just out there loving the moment, so it made it even more special.
Okay, so that was a really awesome 5 minutes there from Adrian Martinez, but he had mentioned in one of the first questions he was asked there about the yell leader, who like was definitely chirping at him after his 55-yard run. And Adrian said, I don't know what he said, it just seemed like something reckless. I think he knows what he said.
Yeah, he does.
Because I was literally rewatching that play multiple times as you were hearing that interview with the media. And it looked like he had turned while giving the football to the referee and said something really quickly to that yell leader. And maybe it's something you can't repeat or something. I don't know, to the media. It's just not smart to say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just made a play. You know,
he's really he's a mature guy for his age. Like, he knows that he could stoke the flames of this thing and make it worse, or he could just put it to bed and go, hey, you know what, I don't know. He was just talking, and I don't know. I'm moving on. The game's almost over. He's really a mature kid. All of his – I've been so impressed with him on his interviews and stuff. Like, Adrian Martinez is a mature kid. He's a good guy.
Well, we are off at 5 o'clock.
What?
Because of the Royals. Yeah, the Royals play a game against Detroit, and pregame starts at 5 o'clock. I know we –
That's not true.
I tried talking to the Royals radio network. I was saying, hey – K-State just beat Oklahoma. We need our airtime.
Yeah.
But they're like, nope, we can't move it. So 5 o'clock pregame, 5:40 is first pitch against the Detroit Tigers. So when we come back, we're going to finish up the show with a little Ask Us Anything. Also, number one song of the day is next.
What's wrong with me? Why do I feel like this?
Yes, that's right. You're listening to Troy's Guilty Pleasure. From 2008, Disturbia by Rihanna, 2 weeks at number one. Now, I argue that, and she has said this before, that it wasn't actually supposed to be Rihanna. Her real name is actually Rihanna.
Rihanna. Mm-hmm. Riri.
And when I brought that up, when John and Mason were still on the show, oh my God.
Yeah,
they tried burying me.
Yeah, you got
it's like,
heat.
How dare you? Like, that's not true at all.
But she said it.
Yeah, she has said it because on our sister station, imaging that where she's saying her own name, she says Rihanna.
It's supposed to be Rihanna, but yeah. It's maybe just one of those things, and I've gone through this with student athletes before, that maybe they do have a difficult name. So if you get close to it, they're like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, no, what is your name?
They're like, I'm so used to it by now, man. You caught me too late. You caught me as a 4-year-old, but it's Rihanna. But nah, 20, 19 years old, I don't care.
Yeah, and at the time, like when she was becoming big, yeah, she was barely,
whatever,
you know, 18, 19 years old.
Young.
Singer, actress, businesswoman, and a very successful businesswoman from St. Michael, Barbados. And the reason I decided to go with Rihanna today is because...
I know.
Yeah, she's going to be performing at Super Bowl 57.
Wow! And people are heated about that. I think it's going to rule.
It's heated because she refused to sing at a previous Super Bowl halftime show because of the NFL and what basically the reaction was to Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, I did not know that. I've done zero research. I just know people were like,
that's just what I heard.
Wow.
And then everybody's bringing up, well, what about, what is it now? You don't care about Colin Kaepernick anymore? And
so really, in effect, what it all comes down to is it's a giant troll on the part of Rihanna's part at this point. Because not only that, but everybody thought they were getting Taylor Swift.
Which I'm glad they're not getting Taylor Swift. Nothing wrong with the person. I just can't stand her music.
Yeah, not cool at all.
Oh, but, you know, there are plenty of people who would be upset that it's Rihanna and not Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, and that's before you even get into the unseemly side of the web.
Well, and...
I'm not going there.
Right?
When it comes to sales and money, Rihanna is more successful than Taylor Swift. With sales of over 250 million records worldwide, Rihanna is the second best-selling female artist of all time. In first place is Troy.
Celine Dion.
Way off.
Okay.
Madonna.
Yeah.
Madonna?
Madonna's number one.
Think about the longevity.
That's true.
In 2022, so this year, it was reported that she is the wealthiest female musician. The wealthiest. Her net worth is $1.4 billion.
Jeez!
Our friend Jazz pointed out yesterday morning, by the way, she has no new music. She hasn't released anything in 6 years. So the question is, what is she going to perform at the Super Bowl?
Well, she has been featured in songs, but like, yeah, maybe when it comes to albums, she hasn't released anything in 6 years, but I don't know.
It just poses the question, and as Jazz noted, or is it just going to be a large Fenty ad?
Yes. Yes. You know what? She's smart, too, for her age. She's very mature for her age.
She gets it.
She understands. Yeah, this is a commercial, man.
Time Magazine had her as one of the 100 most influential people in the world in 2012 and 2018. 8 studio albums, 39 top 40 hits. This is her fourth of 14 number ones. So 14 number ones. That is fourth all time.
Wow.
That is behind Elvis, Mariah Carey, Beatles.
Rihanna.
Rihanna.
Man, she's talented.
From the album Good Girl Gone Bad, Reloaded, her third album. And the song is about, you know, being in a state of mental anguish, anxiety, and confusion. It was co-written by her boyfriend at the time, Chris Brown, who also contributed some backing vocals. Yeah. That story did not have a happy ending.
Idiot.
In an interview on Good Morning America, Rihanna said that this song is not necessarily about anything specific or a personal experience. She further explained that she wanted to record this song because she felt that listeners would be able to relate to the subject matter. Now, there was this person back in the day from BBC Music that claimed that this song, you can almost perfectly match it up with Eiffel 65's Blue from 1999.
Oh, wow.
Like, it will match up with the beat and the chorus.
Which is why the start it would,
it matches up.
Oh, it totally does. I mean, but that song is, that song is...
I'm blue, da-ba-dee-ba-ba-da.
If I was green, I would die. Right?
Yep.
Something like that.
Big Steve, do you like Rihanna?
I mean, yeah.
You look mad. Are you just,
I'm just vibing over here, dude.
I thought it was a medication kicking in.
No, I'm also just in immense pain right now. So. The pills are wearing off, all right?
Oh, God.
I can feel things again, and I don't like it.
Okay, time for a break. Ask us anything next. And I'm just kidding. I was just going to see if you would, quickly send us to break.
Wow. Don't do
I wanted
that.
To see how fast the kid can move.
Now we're going to have both arms get all crushed.
I mean, I'm down an arm. I'm moving pretty damn quick over here, all right?
No, I do have a couple more things. So this song won the award for Best International Song in 2009. However, after miscommunication, Katy Perry accepted the award for her single I Kissed a Girl, but it was later... Everything was fixed later on. It was just at the time Katy Perry was announced as a winner, which was a huge mistake. That was not true.
Wow.
Time Magazine has named this song number 2 on its list of the 10 best songs of the summer of 2008. What got first place makes me kind of sick. Kid Rock's All Summer Long.
Oh.
Which, I mean, summer's in the thing or in the song title, but isn't that the song that basically just rips off Sweet Home Alabama?
Exactly. Yep. Just change the words. That's it.
Pretty much, because he's talented that way.
All right, Big Steve, I suppose we'll keep it here. You can get us out when we need to get out. If DG is ready, I'm get to some Ask Us Anything.
Totally ready.
And we're officially going.
Hey, yesterday, I don't know if you saw this. On NASA's YouTube channel, they fired that thing up into space and ran it into an asteroid and got all this really cool footage.
It looked awesome.
And, amazing. Do you think if there's an asteroid headed towards Earth, does NASA owe us a heads up? Or do you think they, should just, let it?
Just let it happen?
Yeah. Because it's like... If
that's
a
tough one.
If they give us a heads up, it could turn... Really, I mean, it will turn
bad. Have you seen Don't Look Up?
Yes.
That's basically kind of
great
where
movie.
I'm thinking. Uh-huh. If they tell us, everybody's going to be doing that, and then you'll have everybody that's denying it and the whole world of mass panic once it gets here. So just let it kill us silently, man.
And if I heard, that's the thing. If we're all going to die, just let it happen. But I've heard that if there is something like from that movie, like an asteroid heading into our atmosphere, it's like going to crash into Earth. Yes, we're all done. We wouldn't actually have the tools to go blow that thing up.
No.
It's going to happen. There's nothing we can do about
it. Which essentially is why the test yesterday.
Yeah, they wanted to see if they could just nudge one instead of, they can't blow one up. They just want to try to nudge you out of the way. And if it's like, hey, if it hits, you know, Papua New Guinea, whatever, baby.
I mean, Skylab. Oh, anyway. someone actually put up a Twitter account, as if they were the spaceship involved.
I love
and
those.
And so in the moments before it hit, this one's for the dinosaurs.
Oh, my God.
That's great. Oh, I love it when those Twitter
set it
accounts
out in
pop
all caps.
Up,
it was spectacular.
Oh, that's funny. Hey, what food do you always say yes to, no matter what?
Wings. That's an easy one. Wings.
Fried chicken.
Pizza. Ooh.
Hamburger for me, baby. I'm like, Sarah's like, does this sound good? The hamburger? Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Like this time of the year, it's tough to get to my girlfriend's house to hang out just because I'm crazy busy, but I've tried to make Wednesday that night I can go over. And Pizza Hut does like the Wing Wednesday thing.
Oh,
their wings are actually pretty good.
Really?
Oh, are they?
And they're like, some of it, it's like half off or something. I don't know. But I always want to do it. Like,
dang.
I look forward to it. I love wings. It's my second favorite food. Burritos are up there as my first.
You're the
and you already took care of that today.
You're the wing guy, you know? Showing up with a whole bucket of wings, baby.
And I mean, like, were you disappointed that we got the burrito and not the wings today?
Yes, just because of what was in the burrito. It's just not much. You know, it's some chicken, some lettuce, like it just wasn't anything special. The wings, yes.
Yeah.
What are you signaling over there?
30 okay. seconds.
30 seconds?
He's just throwing fingers around. I'm like,
I only have one arm right now, all right.
To be able to tell you.
Yeah.
Now 20 seconds.
Yeah, just count it down for us.
Okay.
Rest that hand of yours. You need to keep it
oh my.
Healthy.
All right, we're out in 10.
How much time?
Well, now 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, and so on.
Bye.
See you tomorrow.